My name is Liz Kirkus from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC Acra, Catskill, and Hudson.
Girls Alive is a safe space for young women in grades 8 through 12 to meet at TSL every Wednesday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. beginning December 6th. Our focus is growing strong and healthy whole beings within the context of community. As we learn what it takes to be memorable leaders in our community, we will be enjoying local foods, expressing hair art, singing, dancing, and moving to a collective body of music and sound. Want to take it up a notch? We will be learning proper sexual health, holistic remedies, and medicinal herbs. Let us be unstoppable. Information on how to get involved is available at wisebodies.org. See you there.
Hi, everybody. This is Timmy Whippoorwill calling to you live from inside the oak tree. Please give what you can to WGXC.org/donate. Check it out. Their webpage is live. It's fresh. It's exciting and new. Even us here in the Whippoorwill community approve of such a place. WGXC is here for you, so why don't you be there for them?
Desmarchand, a proud supporter of WGXE, is a men's and women's boutique featuring creative and classic clothing, shoes, and accessories. Now presenting our fall collections from European and American designers, Desmarchand.com, Desmarchind.com, on Warren Street in Hudson, New York.
Far is where I am near. Far is where I live. My house is in the far. Night is still. A duck barks from afar. Not far below. The bark is soft and small. Lamps keep the stars away. Thank you. barks from the farm. A tiny dog not far below. The bark is soft and small. The lamp keeps the stars away. If I go out,
good afternoon and welcome to Purple House. I'm your host, Robert Tomlinson. That was the lovely, lovely album from Eva Bitova and Chickadee. Am I pronouncing it correctly, I hope? And we are honored and delighted to have in the studio playing live today. Eva Bitova, welcome.
Hello.
Your son, Antonin Feit.
Hi.
And Timothy Hill.
Hi.
You're listening to Purple House, monthly forum for the arts. And we are still in the midst of our fund drive. So I do want to ask everyone to please make a donation and either call 518-697-7400 or you can donate online, wgxc.org/donate. Before we jump in, I have a big thank you to Ms. Eugenia Zuckerman and Hudson Hall. They're the ones who introduced me to Eva and her music. I'm so grateful to them, and I'm grateful to all three of you for joining us in the studio today. Thank you for being here. Especially Antonin, who flew in last night, took the cross-country flight to be with us today.
Yeah,
it's great.
Only for the radio.
Only for the radio, yeah. WGXC special.
Yes.
Antonin Fight is here today. Right. All right. Well, I want to ask a couple questions of each of you, and then we'll play some music, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. So, first of all, Eva, your tour, you just got back.
Yeah, I just got back from Europe. I was 2 months on a tour, and you know what? I really like to play live, and I like to make a dialogue with audience, and that's why I have to fly every different destinations just for that moment to create something real with the people, with the audience. So live performances are most things what I'm doing these days.
Mm. And so this was a focus on going to Europe? All over Europe? Eastern European? What countries?
All over. Yeah, because I'm from Czech Republic,
mm-hmm.
and I'm quite known in my country around in Europe. So, and I moved here 2007 with my son Antonin. And you know what happened? If you move somewhere else and you already have many, many friends at your place, at your home, they ask me more and more, come back.
Of course. Of course. How nice to be invited back so often. I'm sure they love you and always look forward to your next visit.
Yeah.
I want to start with how music came into your life. I know that your father was a great musician, but how did music come into your life, Eva?
I grew up really in music because my father and also my mother, they like to play live and to share music with other people. So that means when I was as a child, we listened so much of recordings. Every day we played music. And so that means it's like the milk of what I really need
of nurture.
To have a drink every day.
You were nurtured.
Yes.
Yes. And your father played many instruments.
My father, he was multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah. I understand your son has that gift.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, huh? Yeah? A little bit?
Everything's bad. Piano's better.
Okay. So really, your family introduced you. There was music around you all the time since you were a child? Many instruments in the house?
Yeah.
That was your beginning. Did you pass that on intentionally to your son? Do you feel that, Antonin, that music was in the house? And
yeah, oh, definitely.
You grew up in it?
Yeah.
When did you realize, I'm going to be a musician. This is it. I'm going to play music.
I think I always liked doing music. I always thought I'd probably end up doing it because I was taking lessons from when I was 5. Violin, then I switched to
You started guitar. Off in violin?
Yeah, yeah.
With your mom? Did she teach you or did you get someone else?
No, there was another teacher in Czech. Yeah, but I really hated it and it was really hard. So I switched to piano and I sticked with that. But I think it was really in the States where I started liking it because...
When did you come here? How old were you?
I was 15.
15.
And there was like an improv like jam class, and that was the first time I played with like other musicians in a more improvised way.
And really also George Mraz, he as a Czech musician, very good one. He helped Tony to go into the jazz harmonies. He showed him many chords on the piano. It was very nice.
Yeah.
What is it about jazz that draws so many people eventually into that realm? I mean, you think even people like Joni Mitchell spends the last 2 decades of her life playing jazz. What is it about jazz that's got that magnetic pull?
I think there is more freedom.
Huh?
Because there is a lot of space for improvisation and everyone feel also different, the form and structure of the harmonies. And it's not like exact the piece which is written down. And that I think this is one. Maybe Timothy.
Timothy, let's bring you in this conversation. Let's jump back. So Timothy, how did music come into your life? How old were you and what was your circumstances?
One of my first memories is being asked to sing by my father. So I think... My parents were both actors, and but they were friends with the Clancy brothers when we were growing up. And so I heard a lot of that music around the house, them and Odetta and Alan Lomax and people like that. So I think I learned to sing those songs. And then I got my first guitar when I was 9 and started playing. And
from your parents?
I think it was my parents, yeah, or one of my older brothers. Uh-huh. And I had an older brother who was a drummer also, a rock and roll drummer.
Yeah. There's a mighty influence right there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I was very explorative. And so I started playing piano when I was a teenager. And at that time, I was getting into jazz and all kinds of other kinds of music. And so getting back to your question about jazz, I think one of the things that I noticed was that, you know, playing songs on the guitar, writing singer-songwriter type songs felt limited to me. And what I heard in jazz was this much more open, multifaceted kind of approach to harmony, especially, but also rhythm.
Would you agree that there's also potentially a complexity to jazz that maybe in some other forms of music there isn't? Is that a fair comment or not necessarily so?
Well, I think the thing about jazz, one of the things about it is that every musician feels time a little differently. And so whereas in classical music, typically things are really synchronized, I think in jazz it can be kind of, you know, one member of the ensemble can be approaching the rhythm in one way and another in another. Mm-hmm. And it fits together in this kind of like a living organism or something that's a little, you know, can be synchronized, but can also be quite chaotic and free and, you know.
So all three of you were lucky. You had parents that introduced you to music and nurtured it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. I think it's time for a song. What do you think?
Okay.
Eva, what do you want to start off with? What's our first?
Improvise, you know. This is what we like to do.
Uh-huh. Okay, we're going to improvise. While they're getting their instruments in hand, I'm going to remind us that we're listening to WGXC, your local community radio station, and we are in the midst of an important fund drive. We have $17,380 so far, which is fantastic. Our goal is $25,000, so let's try and make that happen in the next couple of days, and please make your contribution for Purple House at 518-697-7400 or wgxc.org/donate. Okay, Eva.
Hey, the lady loves the song. And in line, let's stand at the lady. And
Well, that was lovely. I have an idea. Let's every month just have the Eva, Antonin, and Timothy show. Right? Let's just do this monthly, and I'll be very happy and proud. Antonin, what's the instrument you're playing? So for those of us that can't see what your percussion is, let's talk about it.
That's the hang drum.
A hang drum.
People might have heard it from a Portico Quartet band out of UK who uses multiple hang drums.
They're made of?
I think it's a combination of metals.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Swiss-made instrument. Mm. I think it was invented like 10 or 20 years ago.
So relatively new, kind
relatively
of.
Relatively new, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think inspired both by singing bowls and gamelan instruments mm-hmm. and gongs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically, it's like two sheets of metal put together. It's like a steel drum, but the
paired, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it has a wonderful sound.
Yeah.
You played it well. Nice. Timothy, do you want to talk about your guitar?
Oh, I don't know what to say about it.
Well, it has six strings.
Made of wood.
Made of wood, yeah, a little rosewood in there.
Uh-huh. It's actually cedar top and mahogany.
Sounds. Mahogany and cedar, okay, yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. All right. And your voice. I've been listening to some of your music on YouTube, which is, transformative, really. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. You mentioned earlier that your dad asked you to sing. Do you remember the circumstances of that?
Yeah, it was I had learned this song called, it was an old folk song called Rambler Gambler, and I had changed one of the lines to suit my four-year-old life, and he thought that was charming, so he wanted me to sing it for somebody. But it was the first time I had a sense of self-consciousness. You know, I've been mm-hmm. asked to do mm-hmm. something for someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what was going on before that.
That's a sweet moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how nice. Mm-hmm. Antonin, I'm going to ask you a question. We'll start with you. I'm going to ask all three of you, but let's start with you. I want you to define creativity.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. This is not the easy question show. We're going to have fun. When I say creativity, what comes to mind for you?
I guess like adventure, maybe. Like experimenting, being open. Being open to things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something that I often think about is like channeling like something else through
mm-hmm.
And being open to that.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many artists, writers, poets feel that in some manner something is coming through them. They're not completely the originator of a song or a poem. Or a book, even.
Mm-hmm.
Something is coming through them. So it's interesting to me that you, at your age, mentioned that. You feel that. You've experienced that for yourself.
Sometimes. I try to. Yeah. I try to get to that place.
Yeah. Eva, what about creativity? How do you define, or what comes to mind when I say, what's creativity?
Just simply say that everyone has the option as a human being to create something. And the basic thing is to create good life.
Mm.
So, and as an artist, I think if you find that you are gifted and you are able to bring your soul and all vibration to the people, I think this is most beautiful creative things.
Mm.
And I just these days, after 40 years just traveling on a tour, I feel that I was really gifted, and I have to do it. And this is my journey, and I love it.
So I'm glad you're identifying the difference between talent and creativity. And you have said everyone is potentially creative, which I completely agree with. But there are levels of talent. But talent also needs to be nurtured. So you all had parents that nurtured your talent. Did you realize when you were a kid, because your sisters were musicians, I mean, everybody was creative in your family. Did you realize somehow you're special, something was going on?
Not really. I just, as a teenager, I just felt myself that I really need it. It was really like a food, like something which I have to do every day. Mm-hmm. So I was never thinking about the future, and I still have so many ideas and so many things to do. I think what was maybe most important in my life, and that's the hardest side of the, if you play violin, it's a very difficult instrument, and the violin showed me and learned me how to make discipline, mm-hmm. how to be there in the right moment and to work as best as I can. So,
yeah, one of the things that amazes me about your work in particular, my experience of it is the music part of it is extremely precise. I mean, you're a very disciplined musician. At least that's how it appears to me. But there's another part of it that's very organic, especially in your voice, where there's a freedom. So if I'm hearing you correctly, the discipline of the musicianship part of it gives you a foundation for then to spring forth this openness, this creativity where something flows through you. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's just for sure it works like how much time and passion and concentration I give to the practicing to the violin. Mm-hmm. It brings me back so much beautiful things. Mm-hmm. It's very, you know, simple. And I'm not artist who is thinking and making a lot of projects and, you know, to create something by, I have to feel it. I have to react. It's also, it depends how you create your life, what you absorb. You can bring it out if there is a lot of, you know, tension and kind of negative things. It doesn't work so well. So it's very, all goes together.
It all goes together. Mm-hmm. So before we ask Timothy the same question, I'll reset here and remind us you're listening to WGXC.org. And this is Purple House, and I'm your host, Robert Tomlinson. And in the studio, we have Eva Bitova, Antonin Feit, and Timothy Hill. Thank you all again for being here. And we are in the midst of our fundraising drive. If you'd like to make a donation, please do so at 518-697-7400 or WGXC.org/donate. Okay, Timothy, creative. What comes to mind for you?
Well, I think I relate to what Antonin said about being open to something. I think that there's a lot to be open to. You know, the life and the world and universe is bigger than we are and bigger than however I'm looking at it. And so I think for me, I'd say creativity is kind of, for one thing, being open to, especially nature for me. I think maybe earlier in my life, human nature was the sort of rich area of exploration, but now for me, great nature is. And so I think, you know, one of the things, and if you're out in nature, you kind of, you shift your perspective all the time. Like maybe you're on a mountain and you look out into, across a valley and you see a storm coming and you're sort of, your perspective is very wide. And then maybe you see a little, you know, animal scurrying or a newt or something like that. And you, you know, you say, what's that? And so your perspective gets very, and so I think, you know, in our daily lives, we kind of, and we're worried about a kind of fairly narrow number of things. And so whatever allows you to kind of shift that perspective and open it a little bit, and that to me is a big part of creativity. Creativity comes from that, I think.
I do want to explore that part of being in nature. But before we do that, and before we do another song, I want to ask each of you about your creative practice. Eva, do you have a daily schedule that you impose upon yourself that you know between certain hours you're going to be practicing your violin or singing, or do you take a walk every morning, or is there something that is a part of a way that you relate to your own compositions and music and the creative process?
Yeah, every day there has to be connection to the practicing and music because I manage all my concert by myself. I have to make every day kind of administration, but I don't like to be in stress. I don't like this word at all. So everything has to be just organized, and then, you know, spend time with gathering. And as a Timothy, and I think Tony also, he said yesterday, oh, Mom, in California, I just miss those trees. So we all are very connected by nature. Mm-hmm. So that means, of course, the physical training, everything has to be done every day. Mm. And good cooking.
And good cooking. So eating healthy, huh?
Yeah.
Antonin, what about you? So you're finishing up your PhD, is that correct?
I just started.
Yeah, okay,
just started,
so you're in Irvine.
Yeah, working so I'm working on my creative process.
Okay, yeah, I'll bet you are. But there's a sort of an imposed structure probably to your life with classes and meetings with professors, et cetera, right?
Yeah, and in the course of a year, there's like bubbles, not bubbles, but there's like...
more moments.
Density and
yeah.
And nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Personally, do you find yourself... I mean, I've talked to people who say, oh, God, no, I'm so lazy. I hardly do anything. I can't get myself to the studio, which always surprises me. And then they either make a great painting or they perform, you know, magnificently. So people are really different. What's your natural inclination? Do you get up and think music first thing and get to the keyboard?
I always try to get there, and then it takes a while to get there in the day. But sometimes I get there. But I usually work at night. I used to work at night, and... I usually work for like a long period of time, and then I burn out. Mm-hmm. Like I get too hungry, but I want to keep working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So I mostly do a big chunk.
Timothy, what about you? Do you have a schedule?
I try to keep a schedule. It doesn't always work, but I usually like to practice in the morning, first thing, before I do anything else, and then. And then other things intervene during the day, and often I'll get back to it late at night. Mm-hmm.
Do both of you do things to protect your voice? Because you both use your voices so kind of amazing.
I don't protect at all.
You don't?
But I just realized what is very important to spend a few days just completely in quiet what I do. Because I'm not talking to anyone, and I'm not singing every day. And then I'm just... excited to finally go and sing.
That was actually my next question, was how important is privacy to your creative practice? So you do need some quiet moments, alone time.
Quiet is most important, but what I usually say to my students and people who ask me how I, you know, take care about my voice, it's the muscle. So that means you have to train it, you have to take sauna and cold shower. You know, it's not really... so much about to protect and cover with, you know, scarf or something. No, just singing in the cold and...
Timothy, what about you? Do you do things to protect your voice?
I don't know if I do things to protect it so much, but I do notice that if I'm stressed out or something like that, that I'm
this is
sensitive.
Psychical, yeah, this is most important, psychical side. Yeah. You have to be relaxed.
Yeah.
All right. How about another song? Are we ready? While you're getting instruments ready and figuring out what you're going to do, I'll announce again. We're in the middle of our fund drive, so please call 518-697-7400 to make a donation, or if you like, wgxc.org/donate. Again, we're just about $7,000 shy of our goal, and we would be very grateful for your contributions. Okay. Eva, Antonin, and Timothy.
Chodila po dolí, trhala kukulí. Aj tu dobro myslel, co by šuhaj přišel. Chodila po hajku, trhala. Trhala lomala, pojď ke mně šla. Ještě si natrhá. Sami na
Listening to Purple House, we have just been transformed into a temple. We're all having a moment of joy and prayer. That was lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's really lovely. Ah, Eva.
Yeah.
What do you wonder about?
I wonder as I wander under the sky. I wonder. I don't know. I don't know what to say. What do you think, Tony?
No, we're not going to transfer it to our son yet. So, okay, so, you know, you're traveling. You spend a lot of time traveling. You must be kind of rigorous in some way, even though there's a lot of joy. But there must be some down moments for you to have some time to yourself. In those moments, what are you thinking about? What do you wonder? as you travel through different countries?
I'm trying to connect the vibration of the spaces, of the people, of the sounds, and I try to avoid to be scared or to make some, you know, to be afraid about something, because I know that it doesn't help to anything. So I always liked places which are in the nature, which are more quiet. That's why I like to live in this location in Rheinberg, because it is very peaceful. Mm-hmm. And I feel much more safe in a quiet. If it's too noisy place, this makes kind of a little bit the problem, and I struggle with this. But
that's lovely. Let's ask Antonin.
Yeah.
What do you wonder about? You're in school. You're starting your PhD program. How are things? How old are you? May I ask that? Are you
26?
26. So from a 26-year-old's perspective, you look around the world. A lot of things are crazy. There's a lot of cruelty. Yeah. There's a lot of joy. What do you wonder about at this stage?
All the depressing things about about like the society right now, or the way it's. I don't know. It's kind of. It's kind of hard to like understand things in the right historical perspective, but it's easy to like romanticize the past and feel like the present has like there's so much bad things going on.
In terms of a more private conversation you have with yourself, what do you wonder about? Do you wonder about your future? Do you think about how will life be for me in music 20 years from now? Does that occur to you?
I don't think about that a lot. Personally, yeah. I think about the way music, what to do in music, that to kind of fit what's happening.
So that's your focus, Timothy? What do you wonder about?
What do I wonder about? I think I'd come back to something that I was trying to say about your last question, which was that it's hard to have a kind of view on things that's expansive enough to take in what's there in front of you. And so one thing I can say about from the perspective of being an older person than Tony is anyway, is that things have happened in my life that I could have dreamed that they would happen, but I couldn't have expected that they would happen. Mm. And how they happened is pretty mysterious. Mm. But I know that there was some kind of almost unacknowledged wish in me for certain things.
So that's interesting. There's been a lot of philosophical discussion about how we manifest who we are and who we become.
Yeah.
And many people feel, you know, the vibes you put out, your private dreams and how you put that out to the world is an invitation for those things to come true. Mm-hmm. Are you saying in some ways that's happened to you?
Well, I would state it a little differently, because I think that the sort of trend to think about things as self-manifested is, you know, it's often from a place of, again, of a defining oneself in a fairly narrow way. Mm. So so I think that what any of us is as a self is much bigger than we can possibly imagine, really.
So following that train of thought, then where does the song come from? Where does the song come from? I know even I've talked a little bit about this in being out in nature. Antony mentioned earlier today about something comes through you. What's your take on that? Where does the song come from for you?
Yeah.
If you're composing a song, where does it come from?
That's a really good question. I don't know how to answer that.
I mean, I think there's certainly a lot of inspiration from nature and a lot of inspiration from other music that I've heard and other musicians that I've been close to. Mm-hmm. But there's also the kind of unspoken of genetic material that we're all carrying, you know, like songs that ancestors sang, or even songs that other people sang that weren't our ancestors, but were on this land or just in this world. And so it's, you know, things get around in the atmosphere, like, you know, airborne insects and seeds and pollen and all this kind of stuff. It gets out there. And I think it's the same with songs. I think they're songs and other, you know, kinds of products of the mind, poetry and philosophy and things like that. I think they're kind of in the air and in the water and in living things.
In the net of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eva, what are your thoughts? Where does the song come from for you?
Usually I feel that I'm really grounded. It comes from soil, from the earth. And there are always some kind of moment in present, in the moment which physically I like to create. And that's why I think that it's just a reaction of what is just that moment, what is there and what resonates with you. Of course, if I have to make the composition, the bigger one, it's a longer process, but it's it goes very, how I create those things, very spontaneous. I'm just doing, I think that simply what, I think it's very important that people are still always trying to do something. If you are lazy and you don't do nothing, then there is no connection, there is no dialogue. So I think.
So for you, does the music usually come before the lyric?
Sometimes, but you know what, when I start to play my music singing with violin, I was so limited by lyrics. And I try to create sound, and I'm doing more now, different sounds, because they're all expressions, say something. And also because I start to travel all over the world as a young artist. I try sometimes when I came to Germany to sing in German, English, but you know, it's kind of exotic sound of my nature, mother's language, but also I like to use the languages as a different intonation, pronunciation, everything. But I think that I'm more stronger to just create melody and put and just create the message without saying real words. I think that the words are more which limited you. It's something which says and you understand, but of course there are more meanings, not only one. It depends how you grab this and how you bring out. But with sound, I think I feel more freedom, more space to express what really I want to.
Maybe as well as asking the singer where the song comes from, and maybe we should ask the song where the singer came from.
Good question. A good question deserves another good question. But that's not going to let Antonin out of the question initially. Come on, we want to hear your perspectives. Where does your songs come from? What's your feeling when you compose a song? What's that process like for you?
Oftentimes it comes from the mood of the day and what I was listening to before. I'm very sponge-like with those things.
Whose music do you admire? Who you listen to right now? Other than your mother's, of course.
The last record I really like was the Craig Taborn Trio with Gerard Cleaver, and I forget the bassist's name. And but I also like I try to keep up with like the R&B and the hip hop things. Mm-hmm. I really like D'Angelo. Also, I was listening to a lot of old soul, which I never really listened to, like Otis Redding and Percy Sledge. And
That's the music I grew up on. Yeah. And Odetta. You've mentioned Odetta. Oh, amazing. Okay, so let's do another song. We have about 8 minutes left. But before we do that, let me remind our listeners that this is WGXC 90.7, your local community radio station. I'm your host, Robert Tomlinson. You're listening to Purple House, a monthly forum for the arts. And we have in the studio with us three wonderful people, Eva Butova, Antonin Feit, and Timothy Hill. And we are in the midst of our fund drive, so if you would like to make a donation, please do so. Phone number is 518-697-7400 or online at wgxc.org/donate. We would be very grateful to have your support. Okay.
Je pěkná zelená ta naša žingora, padají oříšky do našeho dvora. Ladia, dalia, ladati, andalaj, hajadin, lalaja, ladu, di, 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 di. Je pěkná zelená ta naša žingora, padají oříšky do našeho dvora.
Solo.
Amazing Eva Batova, Antonin Fight, and Timothy Hill. So we have just 2 minutes left, and I don't want us to be remiss and not mention your new school of voice.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Zingora. What? Tell us about the plans for that, Eva.
That was my dream since 2 years, and because I just realized I have a lot of students all over, and I have experiences which I want to share with other people. So my dreams looks like comes true. And on this Friday, we will open the private little school named Zingora.
Zingora. And this is you and Timothy, yes?
Uh-huh.
You're doing this together. And it will be in Rhinebeck?
It would be on our property in the woods.
Ah, oh, how wonderful. Oh, that's exciting. And so there'll be like a weekend workshop? How are you approaching starting it?
This is a weekend. We will start. Every day will be workshop. On Saturday would be as a ceremony. We will plant the tree, Zingora. Mm. Zingora, it means walnut tree in a dialect, Moravian dialect. And a Saturday night concert of two of us and guests, and Sunday workshop morning and concert of all students, which day will be there.
Okay, so we can't, because of rules, talk about money, but we can talk about contact. So how would someone contact you if they want to be part of this?
Through the website, no?
Yeah, we create a website.
We create a website, and the website is called?
Zingora, which is Z-I-N-G-O-R-A.
Yes.
And if they search Zingora.
Yeah. Zingora, they will find it.
Okay, so Zingora. So that starts this weekend.